some conservative groups have filed a federal complaint against Milwaukee Public Schools over the district's gender inclusion policy. It's Friday, April 4th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a rare species of crustacean has been spotted in Menominee Falls. And this week's spring election caught national attention. WPR's politics team will recap what the results said about the state of Wisconsin politics. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
Whether or not you consume a piece of art doesn't make you a good or bad person. You're going to have to find some other way to accomplish that.
And provocative.
I get to play all those things in Better Call Saul. I'm extremely lucky.
And always playful.
The fact that you know the footnotes to the footnotes to the footnotes.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
Wisconsin leaders are reacting to President Donald Trump's latest round of tariffs, which took effect this morning. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Republican Senator Ron Johnson called the import taxes a, quote, double-edged sword.
Johnson is a Trump ally who sits on the Senate's Budget Committee. In an interview with NPR, he said the tariffs are a bold move from Trump.
He will, he'll either reap the rewards or suffer the consequences.
And Johnson said that he thinks the move could level the playing field for Wisconsin exporters. In a statement, Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin said Trump is launching a trade war that will, quote, jack up the price of virtually everything. Trump approved a wave of tariffs, including a baseline 10% tax on imports and higher rates on things like cars. Economists say this is likely to raise consumer prices. Trump argues the short-term pain will reinvigorate American manufacturing. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Several conservative groups have filed a federal complaint against Milwaukee Public Schools over the district's gender inclusion policy. The groups are being led by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They allege MPS is violating federal law by allowing students to have gender support plans without their parents' knowledge. Will is urging the Department of Education to open an investigation into MPS and revoke federal funding for the district. Abby Sweats heads FAIR Wisconsin.
I guess I'm not surprised these ultra-conservative groups have taken up Trump's anti-civil rights directives that's targeting our trans friends and neighbors. But I'm still disappointed that anyone would target some of our most vulnerable students like this.
Federal grants account for about 16% of MPS's $1.5 billion budget. Wisconsin farmers could get grants to use grazing practices that benefit soil health, animal welfare, and water quality under a new bill. The state Senate's Agriculture Committee held a hearing yesterday on a proposal to help farmers use managed grazing systems. The practice involves rotating cattle through smaller pastures to feed on grasses rather than grains, and that would allow time for grasses to grow back. Thorpe dairy farmer Amy Penterman spoke on behalf of the Dairy Business Association. She says the bill would help farmers reduce feed costs and seek out markets for grass-fed beef or dairy.
Beyond these benefits, managed grazing improves soil health and water quality by capturing and filtering nutrients, reducing runoff, and mitigating both drought and flooding risks.
Farmers could receive up to $40,000 under the bill to shift to grass-fed practices. The proposal has bipartisan support and backing from both farm and environmental groups. An ecologist at the Waukesha County Land Conservancy made a remarkable discovery this week. It's Wisconsin's rarest species of crayfish. Nick Rommel has the details.
We're sloshing through the puddles in a spot where Helen Holtz spotted some prairie crayfish this week.
We found over a dozen mothers just laden with her babies. We found a couple males as well.
This species of crayfish lives on land in southeast Wisconsin's prairies. They dig burrows to live in up to 6 feet deep or more.
So here's one right here. This little hole, but if you stick your finger in, it goes deep.
Holtz hadn't seen a prairie crayfish in years until this week. The state says they're a species of greatest conservation need. Holtz says one reason they're so rare is that most of the local prairies have been lost to farming and development. This time, we don't spot any, but we do find a seasonal pond where frogs are ringing in the spring. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, WPR's politics team will join the show to break down this week's election results and the national attention that came along with that election. Stay with us.
Music with more.
I have a very clear memory of waking up in the morning to my mother singing She Moved Through the Fair. And I think it just rooted itself in my brain and probably is part of what led me to the folk scene.
And my father won't slight you.
Join Sheila Shigley for Simply Folk, Sundays on WPR Music.
And finally, it didn't take long to find out who won Wisconsin's pivotal Supreme Court race this week. Liberal Justice-elect Susan Crawford defeated conservative Judge Brad Schimel by 10 percentage points in a race that was called about an hour and a half after the polls closed. WPR reporters Rich Kramer and Anya Van Wagtendonk spoke to Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about what the results said about the state of politics in Wisconsin just 5 months after the presidential race.
Okay, Anya and Rich, we're used to having big elections in Wisconsin, but the Supreme Court race we just finished felt unique in a lot of ways. When we look back at this race years from now, what's going to stand out for you?
One of the things that'll stick out to me down the road is that this was Elon Musk's first political test since backing President Donald Trump in November. And even after spending millions of dollars backing former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimel, paying canvassers, paying people to sign a petition opposing activist judges, handing out million-dollar checks, it didn't work. If anything, it appears to have backfired.
Yeah, that's certainly something that Crawford and her Democratic backers have argued, that Musk revved up voters in opposition. One thing that stood out to me as well, and maybe is a sign of where elections have been heading the last few years, but Schimel conceded pretty immediately, and he called Crawford to concede. And when his supporters started chanting things about cheating and fraud, he shut that down immediately. He said, "We have to accept these results." And so even though it was a pretty bruising and sometimes kind of nasty campaign, the way that it ended was the way a healthy election is supposed to end.
And like we do after the end of every election, we have Democrats and Republicans coming up with fresh ideas about what this one meant. We know this was objectively good for Democrats. The only question is really how good. So what's the argument that we hear Democrats making right now, that this was a sign of bigger things to come for their party?
So Democrats wanted this to be a referendum on Trump and Musk, and it appears to have worked. Most of the Democratic voters I spoke with before the election told me they were really motivated by what they call chaos coming from the White House. We had Minnesota governor and former Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz in Eau Claire not long ago saying that the Supreme Court race is the first step to push back, to clean house. So Democrats are clearly hoping to harness that anger and ride it through the midterms.
And so what's the other more tempered argument, Anya, that yes, Democrats won this race, but it's not necessarily a sign that Republicans are in trouble for the 2026 midterms?
Yeah, Democrats are sounding really exuberant about this win, and they're pointing to the fact that Crawford overperformed what Kamala Harris did in November and that Schimel underperformed compared to Trump in November. But those races are a little bit apples and oranges. A national November presidential race, especially one that features President Trump, is just very much kind of a draw unto himself, is a different beast from a statewide April off-cycle election. So even with record-breaking turnout like we saw in this race, these races still tap into much more engaged voters, and that's part of why we've seen liberal court candidates overperforming in Wisconsin consistently since 2020. But in presidential races and midterms, Wisconsin is still really just 50-50.
One thing that seems clear after this election and the last few Supreme Court races, really, is that Democrats know how to win these races. They've now won the last three Supreme Court elections by double digits, which is a landslide by Wisconsin standards. Where does that leave the court with more elections on the horizon?
Yeah, lucky us. We'll have one of these elections every year through 2030. But one of the things that's driven these kind of crazy spending numbers is the stakes of fighting for an ideological majority. Crawford's win means that liberals now have that majority through 2028. So it's possible that the next two rounds won't be as competitive. And just to kind of preview that, next year, the court's most outspoken conservative, Rebecca Bradley, is up for re-election. And then Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, also a conservative, is up after that in 2027.
Let's not forget there's a potential wild card situation here. There will be an opening on the federal Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in October. There's been some speculation from conservatives in Wisconsin that Justice Bradley may get appointed to take that seat. Governor Evers would then get to appoint her replacement, which would shake things up even more.
That was WPR's Rich Kramer and Anya Van Wagtendonk. They were speaking with WPR's Sean Johnson. And finally, quick check of weekend weather before letting you go. Mix of sunshine and clouds to start the day today. Clouds building throughout, but no rain or snow. High temperatures in the 40s and 50s. That changes tonight. We could see some light snow in the north and light rain in the south, with lows in the 30s across the state. For both Saturday and Sunday, highs in the 40s and 50s. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. By the way, just want to give a quick shout out to Mallory Chang. This is her final day here with us at Wisconsin Public Radio. She's been a huge part in getting this podcast off the ground and going and helping to continue bringing you the daily news each and every day here at WPR. We are going to miss her. The podcast will continue, of course, though, and the best way to help folks hear about us is to leave us that rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.